Hey y'all, what's up? This is episode
9,
and you're now kicking it with Key. Okay, so hello everyone. Thank you to Mr. DC and Miss B Moore. They came to kick it with Key today. So we're going to talk about all things DC to B Moore and their upcoming YouTube series, which is urban hippie van life, right?
Yeah. All right.
So, little background. Me and Brittany go way back. Full flats on a Cadillac, okay? But I have stories for days with Miss Brittany, but we'll touch on that. You know I love you, girl. So
love you too.
I was like really excited that you all are coming out with this YouTube series, because when I tell you, like, low key, I'm Instagram stalking you because I'm just jealous. Okay, I'm like, this is living her best life. I'm just trying to live 2 minutes. Just let me get 2 minutes, okay? So let's start. Let's start from the beginning of YouTube. Let's get a little background on how you all got together.
Well, like me and you, we go way back forever, and it's the same with he and I. Our families know each other from church. All three of our families know each other through church. So it wasn't hard to find him. And vice versa. But when maybe about 5 years ago, we just decided that it was time for us to not really think of anything serious, but just try to, you know, like, see where it goes. So we kind of just talked and dated and went out a couple times, and then it's just kind of been that. We haven't been separate since. It'd be 5 years next month, actually, that we've been together. So it started off real sweet and real innocent, and then it just kind of like snowballed really quickly, and the next thing I know we get married, and the next thing I know urban hippie fan life, and here we are.
Okay, and do you want to add something to the story? Was there anything you wanted to say?
I mean, well, our first date was kind of like, it set the pace for our entire relationship, you know. We shared a Subway sandwich. Sat on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Just something simple, but, you know, it was free and it was cheap. So, you know, I figured if she was down to do something like that, you know, on a regular basis, then why not? You know, everybody else want caviar and champagne, and, you know, she was just willing to be all right with a simple thing. So it was kind of like a no-brainer.
I tell people all the time, it's really the simple things. Like, I don't want you to have to go above and beyond to try to impress me, because how do I need to be able to keep up to that level of expectation? But simple stuff, like, you know, I don't need all the glitz and glam. Just look.
I just really want you to feed me and show me a good movie, and, you know, we gonna smoke a J and we good. Like, I don't ask for much. Just feed me, mostly.
Open my door, though. You gotta open the door, though. Like, don't make me.
Yeah, chivalry. He's definitely very, very good with, you know, the chivalry. That is not dead on him. So I will say that.
Okay. So now for me, this. I knew this Brittany was down, you know what I'm saying? I know this Brittany, right? But there's other people that didn't know this Brittany, right? Yeah. This version of you. So how is that? Like, have you had to let some people go? Is there people who weren't understanding to how your lifestyle has changed?
Absolutely. So from go, from when we first started, you know, talking and getting in our first early stages of our relationship, I used to get a lot of, you know, this not really you, like, who are you? This not really you. I was singing a lot, you know, doing a lot of protest singing in gospel. I was in church really heavy. And then, you know, my life had went on pause when my mom passed. So that kind of changed the trajectory of my life and where I went. And because of, you know, the crossroad that I chose, where I just chose to be just independently me and just unapologetically, you know, boisterous about what I liked and what I didn't like. And I just chose to not really worry about what people saw, if they liked it or not. You know, I've always been, you know, a loner, a lover of music, and, you know, a smoker, to be honest. So I, for a long time, I did hide that from people that were close to me. I didn't really want anybody to know that side of me. But once I got married, I just chose to stop living through people and their expectations of me and who they thought I should be and what I should be doing, and just really started considering where the me at that time met with the husband that I had, and if that me at that time could sustain the relationship that I was trying to have with someone who was completely outside of what I knew, you know. So I knew that I had to change me for me to be able to be the person that I need to be for him and what he needed. So I lost a lot of people. I had a lot of people that didn't have any understanding of it. And that's cool. Not their fault, not mine either. So that's kind of how I looked at it. It's not, you know, my responsibility to, you know, appeal to the taste of other people when I got to live my life every single day. You know, I got to wake up and be happy with the decisions that I made for me, not for anyone else. And that's kind of where I still am today. I don't have a lot of friends.
There's always this, like what Wale would call the helium balloon effect. You know, when you got people that in your circle, and you got people that you used to seeing right next to you, and you used to seeing, like, you know, right here with you, and they start doing things and like going different places and elevating to different levels. You know, you don't want to let that string go. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times you get that. We both got that from both sides. But I mean, as we were reuniting from, you know, childhood as adults, you know, I was in the middle of creating a brand that, you know, I often, you know, a hashtag I use, do what the F you want to do. You know, just the letters itself, it speak for itself. And, you know, when you're creating a brand and you're trying to, you're creating a label, you're portraying something, you're trying to push, you know, an idea. It's, you know, it's fashion, you know, fashion is used as one of those things that, you know, from rebel, just like music is used. You know, we as a people always use these things to relay messages. So, you know, we adopted the idea, you know, and we just put it forward, and it just yielded the greatest results because we didn't listen to anybody else. We just created our own path. And yeah, it came with resistance, but, you know, one of the common themes to our, you know, pictures worth 1,000 words. So videos got to be worth 1,000,000. You know, when we show ourselves and we, you know, portray, let people know what we're doing, it's like you're going to see certain common themes, and what we doing what we want. You're going to see us smoking because that's what we do. And that culture has been suppressed for so long, it's time for people to just get over it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just certain stuff. I call it grandma, you know, when that old idea of the way things should be and shouldn't be, and how she should dress or should look or what they should. Like, this is a medicine. Mm-hmm. These are our bodies. Let's get over these stigmas, mm-hmm. and let's just push the culture forward because that stuff isn't serving us.
And I applaud you for just living in your truth, like not trying to make others comfortable. Like I like this unapologetically version of you, and I'm happy for you, you know.
Thank you.
So let's talk about how we went from DC, literally living in DC, to then I saw you in NOLA. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, what happened to NOLA? Like, how we get from NOLA, and now I need a passport if I want to come see you.
So you don't need a passport to come see me. So come on and see me. It's
so cool. Girl, you say less. You are territory,
so you can come on out.
Oh, say less,
because
back in.
So, DC was great. DC was great. We had our greatest moments in DC, but we also had our greatest tests in DC too. Like in our trailer that we had for the series, we talk about how we went from a house to how we are, you know, now experiencing that life. And the reason that it transitioned such in such a way was because we were suffering and coming to a head with homelessness, you know what I'm saying? So we had to deal with it. For him, you know, he's a homeless veteran at the time, you know what I'm saying? So he doesn't really have a place to go. And me, I'm coming out of knowing that, you know, I have a home, but I don't want to stay there because it's going to cost more for me to live there than it is for me, you know, to live wherever else I want to, based off of, you know, the things that were going on with the home, like all of the repairs and the, you know, mortgages and things like that, that I just had to just get dumped into. I didn't know anything about, you know, so
yeah, we went from, it's a lot to ownership.
It's so much. So I was like, you know, I'm done. We can just try something else out. So we tried, you know, RV living. So we got a travel trailer. We bought a pickup truck and a trailer, and we traveled the East Coast. We went to Florida. We lived in Florida for a while. And then we came back home, and then we lived home in our camper for a while. That was too big. And even with that, we still had to worry about where to live, because you can't just pull up in the 30-foot camper, you know, drop it and just be like, hey, all right, that's cool. This gonna be home and we just gonna be cool here. Like,
no, literally, we tried.
And it did not work. We pulled back in and unhitched and then set up, and we like, did anybody see us? Nobody saw us. Okay, cool. We good. But we still ran the risk of everywhere we went, we weren't, that wasn't our home. So now we're looking at what can we do to solve this problem? And we both love to travel. So it was kind of, you know, a no-brainer for us. Let's just figure out how we can maximize our travel experience for the lowest price and for us to be able to maximize our just living experiences altogether. So incoming van life.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, you ever hear Erica's Badu bag lady? How she talk about you gonna miss your bus. You basically, it's like, it's a concept where less is more sometimes. You know, I watched a documentary on Netflix called Minimalism, and it just kind of like clicked for me at that point. You know, and it's just, when you start doing research about who we are and where we come from, our ancestors, they didn't never really sit in one spot. They kind of moved around. It was nomadic. And so just getting back to our roots a little bit, and it helps us avoid the traps of the matrix of the, you know, getting trapped in certain situations where financially you aren't free. You know, it starts with financial freedom.
I think my husband would like you. I think y'all probably could be friends or something. So I know when you all had the RV, you also were doing B Streets, right? Mm-hmm. So that was something you could do inside the RV.
Right. We started B Streets when we were still living in my house. So I lived on Blaine Street all my life. I had a house on Blaine Street, and we started B Streets out of the house on Blaine Street, and it was doing well for a while. And
sidebar. We started this business with food stamps. I gotta let people know that, like, because we have to, everything we do, we try to show people that is obtainable for them too. Mm-hmm. So for the record, B Street started with food stamps.
Yeah.
That's how we came up on food stamps.
Yep. So I would cook and I would cater, and, you know, people would come to the house and pick up. Being in the trailer and the camper, it made it easier for us to do that. So we were able to travel to some of our friends and, you know, make dinners and do, you know, personal events and things like that for them in out of states, because we were mobile. So it made it easier for us to be able to launch a business mobily. But because it was just he and that shit get tiring, you know, like, it gets old quick, you know, you get tired fast. It's long nights, very early mornings, you got to cook and practice. It was a lot. So we kind of, for a little bit, we put B Streets on pause and just focused on traveling and, you know, figuring out what we really wanted to do.
So we go from the RV, B Streets, and then what's next on the stop, on the journey?
Well, B Streets kind of came to a halt. We kind of focused on her singing. I had a friend that, you know, we grew up in high school playing the go-go band together. And he had asked about my wife. And I was like, yeah, she's saying, you know, come by the house, y'all talk. And from there, it just grew into this thing. And we created a band and started getting shows around the city. And I mean, we just poor little kids from Southeast, but we living like superstars in our mind. Like, you can't tell us we not. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if it's two people in the audience or 200, we going to give you the same energy. So, and it's just, it's a great feeling for me, for us to be on stage performing together in front of people and just sharing our energy where we know people in the audience are probably worth millions, have millions of dollars in real estate and good government jobs. And here we are with $12 in our pocket, dancing, raising their vibration. You know, that's a gift in itself. You know, everything you give doesn't always have to have monetary value. That's another part of, you know, our lifestyle that we try to show. Like, it's not always about money. We could post up in the parking lot and cook the greatest meal ever in a parking lot in PG County, or we can set up by the water in Virginia and create the greatest ambiance. It doesn't take money, you know. It's just, that's the idea we try to push. It's not about money all the time.
And I was sad because, I mean, I had the babysitter lined up and everything so I could finally come to the Pete Chang show. And then I was like, dang, you know, it just wasn't meant for me to get the babysitter. You got to move on the fly. When you try to plan ahead, I'm telling you.
It don't ever work
It just never works out. So I'm like, yeah, you know, now I'm sad because I ain't get to see Pete Chang. And now we got a whole panoramic. the whole pandemics, and you know, I was like, dang, you text me like the show reschedule. I'm like, no, I had a babysitter this weekend.
We're just working out now. We're trying to figure out now how we can where we are all the way over here in Puerto Rico. We're trying to figure out how we can get that here. Of course they have music here and things like that, but they don't have go-go here. So it's kind of like, for us being here, it's kind of like opening the door for us to see what we're able to bring here and what we're able to offer here. And, you know, see what problem is there and try to find an answer for it best way we know how.
Puerto Ricans, I like to refer to them as like my Uncle Joseph's kids. You know, they our cousins, bro. They do the same thing. They like the same music, drive the same cars. They just like us. They literally just like us. So, I mean, what you do when you go over your cousin's house, you take a little bit of the flavor from your neighborhood. And you know what I'm saying? That's just what we do. So, and it's the same with New Orleans. That's like our second home. Like, we travel so that we can find a place that we could, you know, build a forever home. Somewhere we can, you know, build a compound or buy some land and leave it for our children, you know, things like that.
So do you feel like Puerto Rico is forever right now, or we still testing?
No, we definitely
we're still testing it. We're still looking, but where we are right now, Puerto Rico is home. We love it here.
We like it here.
That's everything that we've been looking for as far as land is concerned, for the price that we are willing, you know, looking to pay. For it has mountains, it has beaches, it has horses, it got chickens, like it has club life, it has country life, we got strip clubs.
It's like the United States minimalized in the island. So we traveled from Hollywood, California to Hollywood, Florida, you know, from country.
And this is the best place to be.
Yeah. I'm for real jealous. Like, I think I did life backwards or something.
No.
A lot of us are trained to. Like, we just had to break out of that same mentality that our parents and everybody else had, that got to keep going to work and keep working for somebody else and keep, you know, come to a point where you got to figure out, how can I work for myself? Right. How can I get this same God-given energy into something that God want me to do, something that will help other people, you know? And once you find that avenue, you know, and you start helping people, it's not even about how much you're doing it. Just do it. Just doing it, and your blessings will come. There's no monetary value on anything. You know, we made the greatest lifestyle we could ever think of with next to nothing. you know, we did it with crumbs. We watched everybody else be blessed and, you know, get their houses and they get their $100,000 a year jobs. And we were just, you know, praying for the
for our van to start.
For our van to start. No, like, or stop.
Or stop.
we kept our problems small. You keep your problems small, then you won't have to worry about
it. Every blessing you get is so big.
Yeah.
You keep your problems so small. You know, like when we realized that we were able to live under our means. So between the two of us, like literally, he got a suitcase for his clothes, I have a suitcase for my clothes, and he got a bike and I got a bike. That's all that we had. And we purposely made it that way in New Orleans. Like the first time we posted in New Orleans for a while, we were determined then to get rid of what we had that was too heavy. If we needed to pick up and go at any point in time, what did we need that we could take right now? And if we couldn't take it right now, then we got rid of it. And that kind of got us through up to this point. Like we traveled all the way from DC here with two suitcases and two bikes. And we're completely content and happy and wake up looking outside on the balcony at the beach every day. So our problems we chose were to live out of one suitcase rather than to live in one place. You know, like that was the trade-off that we decided.
Instead of paying a bunch of bills, you know, we just got Netflix and
HBO Max, you know, that's our bill. You know, like
but like y'all, I could like look, I commend y'all because I'm a hoarder, you know what I'm saying? I got memories from, I'm quite sure I have a picture of me and Brittany from seventh grade. Like I'm holding on to it. So it's like
I used to be that person too. I used to be that guy. Like I had all the videos from all the pictures from back in the day. I used to be that guy, and what happened, it was tragic. I lost it and then I just had to get over it. Like it was tragic for me. I don't suggest you just do it all in one swipe. Just slowly, you know, start. Because if you think about it, the only thing stopping you from living the life you want to live is your stuff. Mm-hmm. You're sheltering your stuff. You got an AC, heat, and keep your stuff out of the rain. It's stuff, you know? When you start looking at it like that, it's just stuff. I can replace this. I can get another one of those. That's kind of outdated, you know? You start going through the, you know what, I don't need any of this. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, when we were younger, it was a clothing line coming out of DC called Hobo.
Oh, and the owner of Hobo, his daughter, we're like this.
Okay, yeah, so that was my thing, but I wanted to put a Hobo on the map. You know, I'm like, that's, but people missed the idea of what it was. Yeah, it's helping our brothers out, but also the idea of the lifestyle, you know, of just living.
Picking up and go.
Picking up and going wherever you can. Like
it was a bad thing. He's growing up. We saw cartoons. Oh, you a hobo. You know, the motherfucker with the stick with the picnic basket on the end. Like, that's so tough. That's hard.
Creating that image to make you think it's a bad thing.
They living their best life.
I used to feel homeless. I used to feel sorry for homeless people. Not so much anymore. I kind of, you know, I got to the point where I kind of envied their freedom more than anything. Because they don't have bills, they ain't got to worry about getting evicted. They kind of just, you know.
But then it's not they always are bad. Prisoners to their stuff too.
Yeah,
because
some of them.
They got to stay by their stuff. You know, like they can't pick up and go. Perfect example, rest in peace to the lady on the Pennsylvania Avenue Bridge. Mm-hmm. You know, like she had, we looked at her from kids like, oh my God, that's so sad. It's a woman out here. She's, you know, out here by herself and, you know, got help her. She didn't want no help. Like we would try to help her. We walked past her every single day in a year, you know, and we would try and try and try. She would refuse because she didn't want it, but she couldn't pick up and move either because she had so much stuff, you know, just like so much stuff.
What's ironic about her story is that I watched her as a kid be homeless, sleep under the bridge. Then I watched her as a homeless veteran be homeless under the bridge. And then I watched her as I was driving past in my van thinking like, if she had less stuff, she could just go somewhere else. She didn't have to stay right there, you know?
It's that people are prisoners to their stuff. That was our realization.
Like, yeah.
People are prisoners to their stuff. If you can just be like, all right, whatever, I've got another one, or just don't worry about it. You'd be surprised if you just go.
Life could be completely different.
So the fact that you all get to travel, I mean, I guess you don't have to really like worry about on those cold nights, you got to turn on the van and run the heat. I mean, you could just go to a warmer climate area.
Right.
There you go. Just plan to be somewhere warm when it gets cold. I always ask that question as a kid, like, Dad, why don't all the people just go to the beach when it's snowing? You know, but it's more money in the city. And that's the same concept that we as a people always put. It's more money in the city. Even here in Puerto Rico, they go to New York. They, you know, Jamaicans go to London. You know, everybody goes to those major cities looking for opportunities. Really, I feel like it's right here. It's amongst the people. You know, we don't have to keep building these cities up and these pyramids and these companies up. We can just trust and believe in each other and help each other, support each other. We'd be all right.
So let's talk about the van. Like, okay, so let me tell y'all, I'm in love with TikTok, okay? TikTok, me and TikTok, we kind of got like, it's an unhealthy relationship because if you scroll for too long, these videos pop up to tell you like you've been scrolling for too long and it's time to get off the app. And I'd be like, mind your business. Like, no time. But I'm telling you, TikTok has inspired me to do all these things. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to start this. I'm going to do this. Like, I'm like, hold on. Maybe I do need to pause from TikTok. But it was this one girl. I saw her transform her van. Mm-hmm. To a whole like house, and I was like, why she want to make the van her house? Like, she had a house, you know, I mean, she was had her parents, but she's still a young girl. But I was just blown away. Like, every day I was watching for her update, like, oh my God, how we then built ceilings, shelves, places for like a little mini fridge. I was just like, dang. So tell me about the van.
Well, amazing things happen when you sacrifice.
Yeah, we found our van on Marketplace, Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
And we found it in Waldorf. And it was an old, I guess, WSSC van, so an old water van. And it was completely naked on the inside. That was the best part about it. We didn't have to do any of the gutting of it. So he had a friend down in Florida that he knew was like really good with his hands. He's a builder. So we decided to take a trip down to Florida to have him help us build the van on the inside. So we did, like, our build is one of the less fancier ones. Of course, you can, you know, spend all of this money and go extravagant and do all of this shit. But we was really only interested in what was making us comfortable and what could get us from point A to point B. So our van build was, you know, under like $500, under like $600-$500. So we went to like Home Depot and got like, you know,
insulation
and brick paneling and things like that. Just like simple shit that don't cost a lot that we can just
made a bed. You know, we built a bed
that
was long enough because I'm 6'2" and
that's
the big challenge.
That's the major struggle. The bed big enough to fit him, because we have problems in hotels finding a bed that's gonna be big enough to fit him. So we always have to put into consideration his height and his length. And we, you know, the only thing that was missing was the toilet. So we got ordered a composting toilet and built it in and put it in the van. And
you got somewhere to sleep, somewhere to use the bathroom.
We good. That's really your only problem. Yeah. Somewhere to sleep and somewhere to shower. Somewhere to cook. Like, that's it.
Cook as well. Like, we had a little stove, a two burner stove,
and I would just pull it out, put it on top, cook outside, and, you know, a propane tank that's like this size could last this like 6 months, you know, like of cooking. So, I mean, we did literally, like, we tell people we did it lit on less to nothing. Like, we only were able to do the things that we were able to do because God saw fit. Like, no lie, we had little to nothing to do everything that we were able to do. And the only reason we were able to do it was because God had people blessing them. God saw fit to put blessings in different places. And we just happened to be smart enough to walk in those directions, to notice it and walk in those directions. So it's been, we love our van. Our van is back home right now. We're trying to figure out a way to get it here.
Because that's my next question. I'm like, so man, like, y'all, you can't drive the van to the week.
No, it's back home.
Yeah, we left at home because it's more places to travel back home via, you know, on the van. So, I mean, here it's an island. We here. We got a vehicle we get around in, but it's not really a need to live in the van. Here we here on a mission, kind of to find a like nice location close to the beach, somewhere we can get well water, somewhere we get sun, you know, majority of the day so we can grow and, you know, just start our own. You know, you take social distance to the next level. Yeah, you know, like
we really take social distance in the heart. Like
one of the things that we noticed when we started traveling, and the height of our traveling was at the beginning of COVID. You know,
yeah,
when everything started to shut down and the government and the news like stay in the house, we were like, yeah, f that, we out. So we noticed that, you know, overpopulation is a joke. Like, I really want people to get that through their mind. You know, it's the idea to think that God made too many people for this earth is just funny to me in itself. But then when you leave, every time you leave out of a major city, the rest of the country looks exactly the same. It's full of space. And I always joke with her, I say, yo, cows have more space to roam around and be cows than a black boy has in Southeast. That's a problem to me. So, you know, what we need as a people is land. We don't need, you know, blocks inside of cities and hoods and repping this stuff that has no meaning or significance to our being. You know, this is our land, this is our country. We need to get land back and build and have our own, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a concept that maybe many aren't ready for at the time, but in a few years, I think people will get it.
I think you're right. So, y'all out here traveling during COVID, y'all really wasn't running into no traffic because a lot of people was staying in the house.
The whole world was
open. We started traveling last year, March of last year is when we first started. So our first trip was to South Carolina, Spartanburg, South Carolina. And this was in the van.
Like we started the camper and
Was years before, but last year in the van we started in South Carolina. And the only resistance that we were met with was we would get to a border of a state and they might ask us, you know, where you're coming from, what state you're coming from. Because at the time, like New York, New Jersey, like Ohio, like places like that were really high with their rates. So they would ask where you're coming from just for references and, you know, they'll let you go through.
And make no mistake, these United States were not united. Every state had a different feeling about COVID.
Yeah, like,
West Virginia, some parts, they might not care. You mm-hmm. might go to another part of another state and everybody got on masks. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody felt different about it.
The gas was super cheap. Hotel rooms were super cheap.
Everything was cheap.
We stayed on the beach in Virginia Beach for a whole week for like less than $200 right on the beach. Like right during cookies, nobody was out. So we were able to really experience traveling without the congestion. So from everywhere that we went, we would just be like on the highway, in the road, and just look, and it was just open land and field and just opportunity everywhere. So we're like, bruh, everybody back home is like fighting for just a little bit of space, like a little space, like 600 square feet, like 1200 square feet, like stuff like that. When you go outside, like you can go to some places in Virginia and land is just abundant. And why aren't we moving out here? Why aren't people moving that far?
Our culture has been hijacked and we had too much pride on, you know, location and where we want to be and hoods we want to rep from glory days of the 70s and 80s and stuff. And it's like, you know, oh, that was cool, mom and dad, but the days is over. You know, there's cameras everywhere. All the stuff that used to go on, and it's not what it is. So, you know, maybe we should start looking into creating and building our own.
So, a question I have for you, Booby, is I know you have children. So, how mm-hmm. is it now that you kind of have this traveling lifestyle? How are you seeing your children? Are they able to come with you and things like that?
It's actually much easier now if you think about it in this COVID atmosphere that we live in. Everybody's homeschooling now. Everybody's going to school from, you know, online. So before, what it would be, you have to go and you have to wait until spring break. You got to wait until, you know, the holidays. You got to wait until all these things in order to, you know, get your kid out of school without getting in trouble. It's like, they're on school online now. They can just come whenever. So I see my daughter, you know, every chance that I get, whenever she can get off or, you know, whenever she feels like she want to get away from being at home, she just, "Dad, I'm ready." Send her a ticket and she right here where I am.
That's what's up. So, brings me to y'all. Like, I mean, you know, because you're not really supposed to be asking people when they're going to have babies and stuff. But how does that look in this atmosphere? Like, I mean, you know, because I've, okay, see, let me tell y'all, me, right? I really have to have everything like planned all the way down. So that's an issue. Like, I don't, my husband's not like this. So we too different. Control. Like, yeah, control. I need some structure. I need to know stuff. Like, if I catch a cold and I want to get some antibiotics, can I get, do I have help?
When we was going to church for all these years, you weren't going to have no faith.
But look, I can be real. I can be real transparent though about that. You know what I'm saying? Because I had kind of fell off the faith wagon. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think it happened because God had to put me in a position to humble myself. I think maybe I wasn't humble, right? And I married my husband, speaking of which, we got married in August as well, a year before y'all. Right. So them August marriages, they matter, okay?
We here, okay?
August marriages. So, but I really think that God had to knock me down so that I can let my husband lead. I think I was trying to control him too, and I didn't see it that way. So when it was like now you got like humble.
I got a concept that I call Tasha Sauce, right? You know the show Power.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the show here and there, and I realized there's a common theme in the show that every time something's about to happen, it doesn't go Tasha's way. You know, the mom in the show, every time it doesn't go her way, she's doing something to try to change the or manipulate or counter, you know, the end situation. It's just like, that's the problem right there. You know, I identified him like, that's the problem, because a lot of times she just let stuff go and let stuff, you know, be what it's going to be. It will fall, you know, that's how God works. Chaos, you know, through anything, at the end of the day, it's all going to tie, it's going to work. If you get the vision, go for it. That's why I always try to do what the F you want to do. That's what it's about. Find it is what you want and then going after that. But you got to be what you want. Because if it's not what you want, then you're going after something that's not for you. And that's not going to work. But if it's for you, go after it.
Hashtag no Tasha Sauce. That's what I'm going to put in the comments. You know. Like, no Tasha Sauce. Like, look.
Right.
We don't want that sauce. Too much sauce.
Too much Tasha Sauce, man.
So, but you know, I've gotten much better, you know what I'm saying, with what being able to walk out on faith, you know what I'm saying, trusting God and letting him just lead me, you know, because he's not going to put anything more on me than I can bear. So, but so, for a minute, I couldn't feel that. I wasn't feeling it. I was like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, I got to work 2 jobs. My husband like, no, you don't. I'm like, yes, I do. I don't have enough money. He like, dog, we got enough money. And then, you know, so a lot of things happened because I didn't have faith. But thank God I got a little bit, y'all, because that was stressful. Like the anxiety of not being able to just let, like, I'm trying to control everything. Horrible. That's why I'm a little envious of y'all. I'm just trying to be fun.
So okay. With me, it was weird. I'm the same. Well, I am the same way in working on getting out of my way when it comes to that. So for me, my struggle with it was kind of different. Like for when I said earlier that my crossroad came when my mom passed. So that was God's way, I think, for me, and like removing one and replacing the other. So it was kind of like, it was like I had to, because I was so broken when my mom died, he had to give me something else to replace it. You know what I'm saying? He had to give, because she was my everything, he had to replace it with something else that I was able to, you know, shine and give my attention to, because for so long it had been her. So I didn't have a choice in the matter. I literally had to depend on him because I was losing my mind. It was some days where I would just be completely out of it, not eating, not talking. I didn't want to be dealt with. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. Don't even look at me. And he had to deal with me. And in order for him to do that, I had to be so broken that I had to allow somebody to be able to, you know, pick me up and, you know, motivate me and tell me that you don't have to do all of those things. Like, you don't have to feel like you have to be okay every minute of the day. You don't have to feel like you have to have everything planned out all the time. He is the most spontaneous and sporadic person I know, and it drives me crazy. Okay, like literally, it drives me crazy. He can just be like, you know what? All right, babe, I'll be right back. And next thing I know, he's out on the rocks diving in the water somewhere. He ain't said nothing to me about nothing. He ain't discussed like anything. He'll just be up and gone. So for me, it was like, look, he needs some supervision. So you need to get your shit together. Like either you can sit here and mope all day long, or you can figure out a way to enjoy what came out to be life with your husband. Because had it not been for his spontaneity, I wouldn't have even been okay with coming along with this ride, let alone introducing a child to the situation. Like, you mean to tell me we don't have any stability, but we talking about bringing children into a traveling situation? What the fuck are you talking about? Mm-hmm. What does that even mean? But then I'm like, you know what? Let's YouTube it. And there's so many people on YouTube that are traveling and doing these things with their children. Like, they have built their children into their lifestyle. Yeah, like, they have bunk homes in their
Right, it's excuses. Everybody put it on our kids. We put too much Tasha sauce on it. Our kids will live nomadic. They'll live. Look, look, look. Think they won't get go get you a camper and be like, yo, we about to live in this camper and they travel. They be happy. They gonna be with it. It's the parents that's not for real, for real.
Right.
Like, let's just be real about that. It's the parents that be.
You know what? I can't.
All my shoes ain't gonna be able to fit in here. Where my nail polish gonna go?
Your stuff gonna go with my stuff, and you need space. Once you create
like COVID-19, I feel like it's gift and a curse, right? You know, a lot of things that happened, just like President Trump, happened for a reason. They push us into the atmosphere we need to be in, right? We might not like it, but it is what it is. So COVID pushed us into a society where a lot of things are remote. If you can find a way to make money remotely, and you could teach your children yourself. You know, I always, you know, before COVID, I pressed homeschooling your children, teach them yourself. Because one of the greatest disadvantages we had as a people, we were undereducated. We didn't know who we were. We didn't know what land this was. We didn't know, and we couldn't depend on our oppressors to teach us that. You know, so now we are adults and we understand what we were missing in school. It's time that we can just get that, filter that to our children. And I get it. A lot of people don't have the patience to teach their own kids, but you know, you have the homeschooler option. We have virtual learning, and you know, it allows you to have the time to spend with your family and go swimming and go to the beach and different things like that.
And you know what? I do think that, because, like, for real, I never would have imagined that we would be home with our children for a whole year. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, for real. And then this daughter, man.
To you.
I sent her. Then you saw me. I sent her away. She just keep creeping. She's
you.
She's nosy. Like, she's so nosy. So that part, like, some days it is a little overwhelming because I do work from home. I'm trying to do a podcast. I go to school. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. I'm trying to make sure that they're doing their work. So the responsibilities kind of pile up on you. So it becomes a little overwhelming. But at the same time, like, my daughter, she made honor roll, like, all A's. My son, he's in fourth grade. He's in the magnet program, but he still had a decent report card. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he only had two C's. Everything else A's and B's. So
right.
I feel like I'm trying.
That's just a great student.
I think I'm dry, like, managing it. You know, a little bit.
Raising Jeffrey Dahmer, you cool?
Yeah. I pray none of that happening over here. But, we're gonna do some psychological checks. You know, just
honestly, a lot of times. With children, I was telling her, just let them be, you know, like, just let them be. A lot of times, it's just us as parents and adults, we want to mold and shape and shift and maneuver. Like, just let them be. That's one of the best things that I noticed that, you know, gave me an advantage as a child was, you know, a lot of times my friends' parents cared way too much. You know what I'm saying? That's an unpopular opinion, but it is what it is. Some of y'all mamas did way too much. They filled out too many applications for you. They took on the brunt of too many of your challenges. So you aren't able to figure things out on your own. And I don't want to shield, you know, my kids that way. So I like to push them into, you know, figuring things out.
So I know Britt is our only child. Are you the oldest?
13 siblings total. I'm not the oldest. I'm the oldest boy. Now, I had an older brother that passed away, and I have an older sister. But yeah, it's 13 the total of us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, our lives are completely opposite. She's the only child, and I always had people in the house.
Mm-hmm. And you give me, like, you have that older sibling, because I'm the oldest child. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like, I was a mom before I even had my own kids, type of thing.
Always been a mother.
You know, not that my parents put responsibilities on me, but it's just like, me and my sister are 11 years apart. I got a brother, I'm 13 years older than him. And then my dad has a son, but we didn't live together, but we're 6 years apart. So still, it's like, I've been like, you know what I'm saying?
So
I feel like certain instincts, like you just have it. Cause yeah. And then Brittany over here, only child syndrome, selfish.
Yeah, I had to get over that really quickly because he is a very, with mine is everybody type of person. And I'm not saying that I am like selfish and you know, whatever. I'm not like selfish or nothing, but I've always been, you know, kind of to myself and I've always been, you know, reserved. Like I've been around people. I've grown up with my cousin. We're really close. All through our church, been cool with people, but I knew I liked my space and what was mine. And he was, well, this is my space, but it could be your space too. And it could be their space and it can be this person's space. But, you know, I got this, you want some of this, you want some of this. And I'm like, but what we going, like, that's mine. Like, that's always like my thing. That's mine. And he's like, you can't be like that. You gotta open up a little bit. Like, you can't be so stubborn and just so you can't do that. So it's hard. I'm still learning though.
I'm proud of you. At least you're trying, you know?
I'm trying.
Yes. So there is hope that there could be a little DC to be more, what we gonna call it, Virginia?
Virginia? No.
Little VA.
That would be.
That you would probably actually nickname Little VA.
Right.
we practice every day. And we feel like when it's time for us to have a child, we'll definitely be blessed to have one. Like
I feel like Abraham and Sarah right there.
Yeah, we just out here living life.
You know what I'm saying? I know you're gonna give me some pop, you know, when it's gone.
Yeah. But in the meantime, we're just kind of enjoying it. We have godchildren and we have kids that we're always around and we are never not childless except for right now at this moment, but it's in the workings. I truly wholeheartedly believe that when the environment is right, then I'm able to, you know, where there's peace and there's harmony, I'm be able to provide my best self to be able to nurture the best fruit of me. So in that, I feel like that will happen when we are able to get our land and we're able to settle and we can build on that. And then once we are able to nourish and flourish that, that's when our baby will come. And I'm cool with that.
I was gonna say, I think you still need, like, I hear you. You out here, you living your best life, but I still feel like you need that a little bit of structure.
Yeah, I do. I really do. I love it, and I love the idea of children and having children and having a baby with us all the time. Like, that's definitely goal number one. But I also love, you know, being able to stay up as long as I want to. And I love being able to smoke in my car with my windows up and not have to roll the windows down, you know, like, and I love being able to sleep as long as I want because I am a napper and I love to go to sleep and I get upset when I don't have naps and I get angry when I don't eat. So I'm enjoying still being the child me with somebody to take care of me while I do it because for so long I have always been the responsible one.
We both are. Because I be out here on skateboards and snorkeling and bike riding all the time. And I get up and eat my cereal and watch my cartoons. And, you know, Jesus said, come and let the children come, you know. And so we try to just embody that and try to come as children every day. We just go back to being a kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the best parent in the world is a parent that know how to be a kid.
I agree, like for real. And not being so uptight all the time, you know? I tell people all the time when they're like, I want to get married or I want to have kids. And I'm like, why? Not to discourage you, but I want to hear, like, why? Right. Why do you want to be married? Why do you want to have
the motive? The motive, everybody's motive is everything. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you want stuff and you set the people with it.
And a lot of people get married for the wedding and not the marriage. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that's so important. So speaking of that, you all are together like 24/7. Like, I'm like, first of all, I'm a little bit jealous because I mean, so even though I'm not the only child, I do kind of have only child syndrome because for 11 years it was just me. So I'm used to just having my own. And then now I have to share. Not only do I have to share with him, but I got to share with these kids. So sometimes I'm looking for some selfish moments, you know? So how is that? I mean, well, since he does just, you know, go and just dive into the water, I guess y'all get y'all space.
Honestly, more times than not, we are together. But since we started dating all throughout our first early married years, we like definitely made it a point to say that we are committed and fully committed to being to this marriage, like to each other. Like he's been married before. I have his third marriage. He is my first. And for me, I always said, you know, my first marriage is going to be my last. Like, I'm not doing this again because I don't have the patience for this again. Like, this level of understanding and things like that. Like, I've really had to grow up in order to experience that with him. So it took a lot for us to be like, you know what? We need to learn each other. I need to know what it is about you in your good moments and in your bad moments, whether we are in each other's presence or not, like what it is that we need to know and be fully committed to that. So in that, we made sure we planned our days with each other and we did everything together to be sure that we created our own memories together.
This started not just, it started before we got married. Well, once we got married, it really got kicked in the overdrive and it kind of spilled into this thing where I was like, man, you know, like she said, this isn't my first roller coaster ride. So where did things go wrong in the past? And, you know, I just try to patch and make better myself and the situation. So, you know, a lot of times you look at the family dynamics. You go all the way back in the 70s, good time days. You know, James was always at work. You know, when both people in a relationship were working, or one person's working, that's 8 hours at least that you're going to be away from the person that you will marry or spend the rest of your life with. Then you got 8 hours of sleep and you got travel. Like when you really think about it, how much time are you spending with your mate? Like, so we wanted to kind of like, you know, dispel that old stigma, that old idea that, you know, I got to go do this and she
got
to go do that.
Like,
I like weed. She like cooking. Let's start a business where she cooking the weed.
Boom. We can do it together.
We do this shit together. And
yeah. He like music. I like music. Let's do a band
started
together.
Making a band. So everything we did, it was like God made sure it was something that was tailor-made for us. Something that we both love doing and we could do together. And we wasn't accepting anything, but really we couldn't get anything. That's where it started. Mm-hmm. No other jobs were calling us back. Nothing else would answer. We was just like, you know, let's dig within.
Y'all so cute. Y'all like pancake and syrup, peanut butter and jelly. y'all the milk in the cereal, like for real. And it's so crazy, right? Because y'all knew each other way back in the day, but y'all never would have thought y'all would be where y'all are today.
Never in a million years thought that he would be the one that I'd be married to. I never would have thought that. Like, he wasn't even in my scope. Like, at the time that we were together, like, prior to then, he wasn't around. He was in the military. He was gone. Like, so, you know, out of sight, out of mind type of thing. And then he came to church and we exchanged numbers. And then this was when MySpace. Periscope, MySpace, and like MySpace was popping, and after that, Periscope was hot, and we started exchanging Periscope information and kind of stalking each other. And then after that, he came back home, and then it was like on from then. But I never, even then, dating, I was like, yeah, all right, this could be cute, but it might not go anywhere, you know, because he has children, and, you know, he has, you know, other people that he's committed to, and, you know, got other shit going on, whatever. No expectation at all. He was the one that was like, by the end of the year, we're going to be married. He was telling me this in April 2016. We just started dating March 2016. And in April, he's like, yeah, we're going to be married by the end of the year. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Because he said he wasn't getting married no more. So yeah, to me, I'm like,
I kind of made it. I made a decision like after my last divorce that I was like, I'm not doing this no more. Like, I'm done with this. I'm getting off this roller coaster. I'm just gonna be a same guy. I'm just, that's it. And God was like, hold my beer. I'm gonna fix you. And yeah, so we don't really get to decide sometimes. Sometimes we got and I'm kind of glad I didn't stick to that. Honestly, it was probably gonna be one of the stupidest decisions I would have made. But just when we got together, it was just something I felt. It was just like, this is what I've been looking for. You know, all those, you know, she kind of made it make sense to me because I was kind of like, you know, I was just where you, my faith was tested. I was like, what type of, you guided me into the situation and this wasn't it. You know, what's happening? What are the answers? Like, where do I go from here? You know, and God just kind of showed me in her why none of my other relationships worked. Like, it was just, it made complete sense.
Okay, they weren't the jelly to your peanut butter. It wasn't the ham to your cheese. Like, come on. How long were you in the military for?
8 years total, 4 active and 4 reserve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so what's to come on the YouTube channel? Like, what are we going to be expecting? Is it a weekly video? Is it a vlog?
So we're testing it. Okay. And so right now what we put out originally, we call it a sizzle, and we put it out just to really see how people would receive it. You know,
it's a collection of my Insta stories. You know, I constantly update my Insta stories. And this was something that I started before social media was even a thing, right? I would just film, video my life. And whenever I get a chance to share it, I did. It started with MySpace and then went on to Facebook. And, you know, Instagram was like the main vehicle for it. But now that we have like a body of, you know, after years of just doing what we want, we got all this footage and we just like, what are we going to do with it? A friend of mine was like, yo, let's put it together. Let's pitch an idea and let's possibly, you know, get this distributed.
See how it works.
We're working on doing that right now. I kind of slowed up posting on a daily basis because technical issues, one, I live in paradise, so I'm not going to be stressed out dealing with computers and stuff if I don't have to. And also, like, you know, I just want to live. I broke my phone up. I don't use a traditional phone. I separated the camera so that I can just live life, you know, and record it and not have to worry about stopping and posting. And do I got service and my battery and I don't got enough space? And, you know, that those type of things interfere with you living life. So I just kind of like cut it all out and I just enjoy it now. And in the end, I think it's going to make a beautiful story. And,
yeah. And
hopefully, you know, we get a major distributor to pick it up. And, you know, God willing, our story will get told.
In the meantime, we just make, you know, little short videos here and there and, you know, kind of post them up on the YouTube channel. And like I said, it's we're testing. It's like the Nielsen. What is that? The Nielsen effect or something?
Oh, yeah. The ratings type.
Right. So just to see how people receive it and what type of feedback we will be able to offer when we come to a conclusion about what we want to do with it. So in the meantime, just little short things. You just post up in the meantime, like bursts here and there. But right now, we're just kind of letting the universe do what it's going to do. Yeah. Leaving it available.
So now, Booby, I feel like, you know, I know you now. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm going to follow you. See, I'm not the type of person, like, just because you bring your husband, I'm just going to follow right. you. Like, I feel like that's kind of, like, low-key stalking. Like, I'll just be like, I don't understand. Like, I don't want you just to go follow my husband or his friends come follow me just because we married. Like, let's know each other first. So that way it's like, it can be, it's like, I'm genuinely liking these photos and not just like, oops, and not just like trying to be in your business. But you know, because I am living vicariously through Brittany, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, where are we today?
So that just means y'all gotta come out here faster.
No, like for real, you say less, sis. You know, plane ticket right now is on the low. Like, what's that?
They are like, you wear two masks, $60.
I put on two masks and a hazmat suit, and we be out there. Bye, kids.
Right.
Bring them with you.
No,
right. We're bringing with
let me tell you, people who don't, because y'all don't have a kid together that live with y'all all the time, y'all always talking about bring the kids. No, fuck them kids. I've been with them almost 365 days straight.
Yeah, very true.
Look, this is ghetto. This is a little ghetto. Mama need a break. You know, last year we celebrated 5 years and we didn't even get to do nothing.
Yeah.
So, and y'all gonna celebrate 5 years this year. So I'm so excited for you all. I pray that the Lord continues to, you know, watch over y'all marriage and y'all grow and y'all have little baby VA, you know what I'm saying? And I really do hope that the networks, Mona Scott.
Right.
Look,
I don't know about
B. Mona gonna be trying to make y'all fight. Probably she needs drama.
We good. We'll keep it independent.
I posted something the other day where I talked. Well, Currency was talking about the importance of organic growth. You know, we can go out here and buy a whole bunch of followers. We can go out here and try to sell ourselves and, you know, dance and tap and war. We can just be us and do our thing and just let it grow organically. You know, that to me is worth more when you're following, it just happens organically and people share and reshare and repost your stuff because they genuinely like it, not because you're like in their inbox like repost my stuff.
Like for real, like, oh my gosh, for real, Booby, I think you want to be my friend too. Let me tell you, I had a Facebook status the other day. I wish I could like pull it up, right? Like probably when I post this, I'll put a screenshot of the message in here. Let me hold on. Wait, let me find a receipt real quick so I can share this with you, right? Because it's some people who are trying to start their own business or, you know, got they whatever they doing and they trying to use social media to get their following. I feel the same way. I want genuineness. Like, I don't want to be like, hey, Brittany, repost this for me. Like, if she's not my targeted audience, why am I going to chase her? You're going to say, okay, she reposted it, but if she didn't click on it, then I didn't get nothing from it. Right. You know what I'm saying?
And then maybe her friend's not interested either. So the repost is just being posted for no reason if it's not reaching the right people.
Right. And we don't want no haters. You get what I'm saying? I want people who really want to... Who believe in me or want to see me grow. So
well, I know when it came to my growth and when I started like really diving into social media, one of the things I took away from, you know, other people was just what they were able to do. Like you said, you get on, you see other people doing things, you get inspired. So when you go back in your life and you think about all the life-changing things you did, right? He was like, okay, I did this because I was inspired by this person. I did that because I was inspired by that person. Well, now we just feel like it's us. It's our turn to be those people that inspire. You know, like, you can't always be Mike Larry. Somebody got to be Marcus. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bad Boys, that's how it works. You know, it's a Huey and a Riley. It's always a good cop and a bad cop. It's always a duality to everything. So when you spend your life and you get inspired by things, you turn around and you inspire others.
Mm-hmm. So can y'all see it? Y'all see the one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I also put this on audio, so I'm going to read it out loud. So it says, the sooner you realize that your friends and family is not your target audience, The less hurt you will be when they don't support, repost, or promote your business. Stop putting unrealistic expectation on your loved ones to support something they care nothing about. Find your audience and build from that. Don't hold people accountable for something they aren't interested in. I would much rather someone who is interested, even if it's a stranger, to support me, where the support is genuine, not forced, because you're my friend or family. Have a blessed day. Shameless plug, new podcast episode. Yeah.
Right.
But you get them 100% saying? True. Like, 100% true. Like, stop putting it on someone else. Like, just because, like, oh, well, that's my sister, so she should repost it. My mother should. My mother, if she doesn't feel the episode, I don't want her to repost it. Because her friends, she know her friends. Her friends probably didn't want to see it either, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't be in a box. Like, my podcast has no category. I mean, today I dropped the episode with Sugar Bear, who is not, you know what I'm saying? But if you're in Florida, what do you know about Sugar Bear for real?
Right.
You get what I'm saying? I talk about marriage. I talk about kids. But if you're not married and you don't have kids, like, you
don't. But you talk about the things that are important and genuine to you. And you know, and the growth will come from there. Like, that's just how we did. We kind of, like, just kind of stuck to our thing. Like, don't nobody want to hear the church kids talk about God. Don't nobody want to hear, you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of aspects of what we do people don't really particularly care about. But I don't care. That's just where we are. We're going to talk about the things that we feel like are important, and we're going to do what we feel like should be done. Even when we travel, we're not just doing this to look cute and take cute pictures in front of stuff. We are going to historical sites, and we're showing you things about your ancestry and our history and things like that. Like, it's a little bit of medicine in the candy when it's with us, you know? Like, we try to make sure we...
Everything we do is very strategic, and we don't like people knowing that they're learning, but they're learning. Every time you watch something, whether it be mine or whether it be his or whether it be on our joint account, it's something that is always left to be said or thought about or wondered about.
Wait, is it joint account too?
I need to be more account.
Why ain't follow? I could have followed the joint. Dang.
Yeah, our joint account. I mean, we love doing stuff that matters for us. So the places that we traveled to were places that were meant and specifically meant for us to be. And this place is included in that dream as well. So it's always a learning experience.
And this is really random, but the other day, y'all was across the street from me, and why you ain't pull up? Like, you could have pulled up. I could have made you
where he did his photo shoot.
And I was like, first of all,
at the car dealership.
Oh,
and that was random.
And I was like, how y'all end up back here real quick? Like, girl, send me a bird call.
Right. So he did that shoot, and like 2 days after that, we were gone. We just came back to town.
A good friend of mine and I starting like our own video production company. And, you know, you got to start from the ground up with some of these things. And we just got a few contracts where we do commercials for different dealerships in the area and stuff like that. I mean, anybody, really, like, you got an idea, you got something you're trying to sell, like, you know, I'm always open.
Promote yourself. Go ahead. I was like, hold on. First of all, when I saw you over there, I was like, Sport Cadillac. I was like, what is that? Because it was Sport Chevy.
Right.
So I was like, but this look like my neighborhood. Hold on a minute. Girls, you right across the street. I live right across the street, girl. Come see me, girl. What you doing?
And it was a long ass day too.
But then by the time I was finished, I was in school probably. But
It was long. We didn't finish until later that night. It was a long day. And it was cold too. Oh man. That was our deciding factor right there. We was like, oh, it's too cold to even be still up here. Like, it's cold as fuck. We gotta go.
So in Puerto Rico, you're renting a place? It's like an apartment, a house?
We're renting a condo. So we started, when we first came here in October of last year, we stayed at an Airbnb here in Cabo Rojo. And so Cabo Rojo is two and a half hour drive from San Juan.
Yeah, it's not.
So,
it's definitely on the opposite side.
Yeah, we're on the west coast of the island. So we got here, we were completely stunned by what we saw because it was not what we were thinking, like, oh, San Juan and, you know, stuff like that. Think it's going to be like super touristy, but we get here and it's cows and horses walking down the street. And we're like, oh, wow.
I mean, I
kind of
knew. That's why I brought the bike.
Wow. Okay. But no worries. So we loved it. It grew on us and we loved it here. So we were, from then, we were looking at places to like rent from that moment. And we were like, you know what, we just gonna figure it out. We had to go back home anyway. So we went back home. And in the meantime, we were still looking at places here to move. And I was like, let me just call the people who we rented the Airbnb from and see if they would be willing to, you know, maybe do it long term. See if we would be able to do something. So I called and they were very accommodating. They were like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. As long as you want. What do you want to do, a year? What you want to do? It doesn't matter. So they were very just with the shit. And we was like, oh, perfect. It literally just like fell in our lap.
You'd be surprised if you ask some of these homeowners, yeah. You know, in this COVID society, everybody I keep saying because money. COVID, like it's, I bring it up not to be like, oh man, yeah, the mask. No, like, because it's a buyer's market now. It's open. The world has changed. People, you know, think different now. Some people try to sell things that are valuable. Some people, you know, take next to nothing for it. And then that's not the situation with here, but you'd be surprised that if you just give somebody, hey, yo, I know you're renting this place out every weekend or for vacation, but, you know.
We have it though long term. And that's how we kind of put our foot in the door. So here we are. And we have,
We got less persistence living in Puerto Rico than we did back on Minnesota home. Avenue.
Right.
Wow. And then because I know, I'm just so excited. Okay, so look. Because I be Insta stalking. So I was like, oh, hold on. They just out here just buying little vehicles and stuff. Do you know how to stick?
I do now.
But everything we get though is like it's secondhand.
We got our boat from Facebook Market. We got our van off of Facebook Market. We got
the Jeep from Facebook Market.
Like
it's the best thrift store in the world.
We literally believe in supporting the economy in it, however form that is best. And we choose to go the local route. So everything that we do is very local and organic, and that's how we like it.
That's just sad. Like, for real, I'm out here just wanting to quit my job and become a van hippie.
It's a sacrifice that you have to. I mean,
I'm always saying, please do go ahead. Always saying, me too. And he's always the one that says, but wait, there is more.
I'm gonna let you know what you're getting into, but I like the idea when people just say, you know what, I'm inspired and I just want to just get out here and do it because that's what it takes. It takes you to just sacrifice that comfortability because nothing great happens in your comfort zone. So as soon as you step out of your comfort zone, you make yourself a little uncomfortable for a good purpose, not just because you want to be cute and then, you know what I'm saying, like you got people to go out and just sleep on the street and be like, look, I'm out here on the street. Like, no, just sacrifice in your mind, get to a place where you're like, you know what, we got to a place where like all we need is some weed and some water
every day. What do we need you know to survive, like, every day? Weed and water.
And we start realizing that everything else is just extra, you know, extra. In reality, all we really need is a sandwich, so a weed and some water. And then from there, you go in with the mindset of knowing that anything else I do is just extra.
So what's the hitting on? What's the weed like out in Puerto Rico?
At first we was a little apprehensive, but you know they came through,
lady. Yeah. When we first came, it was kind of hit and miss. It was like, man, this not gonna work. We're gonna have to try to find a way to figure this shit out, get something from home or something.
And they got a nice medical cannabis industry going here, and it's not really hard to get a card. It is in the States, you know, it's pretty easy, pretty simple. They got some good flavors over here.
I'm surprised, actually. Yeah. Pretty surprised. We made some brownies the other day with some hash that we made from all of the different strains that we had, and them brownies were, like, amazing.
Keep in mind, we've been collecting weed from all around the United States for a few years now, so we got seeds.
Is Cali where it's at?
Yeah, I mean, Cali is I think it's more hype than anything.
Yeah,
it is. Okay. Because I wonder, was it hype?
Colorado weed is just as good as Cali.
It
but,
is.
Okay.
Yeah. It's clean. If you want to know like the dynamics of the different, like Cali weed and Colorado weed give you the cleanest for your money, like the cleanest smokes and the mm-hmm. best choices without, you know, a whole lot of pesticides or chemicals that they use to grow. They focus more on natural growing. Mm. But
most places that, with mountains mm-hmm. and sunlight, and you know, mountains breed constant sunlight. So, you know, all those mountainous areas, the Washington, Oregon, yeah, you know, North Cali, Colorado. All the places, and even here in Puerto Rico, it's mountains, beaches, it's like everything. So when you got those type of environments, you know, you grow good weed.
And they're building up a nice hemp industry here mm-hmm. right now. So we are looking at what we need to do or what expectations that we need to be able to get in on the hemp industry when it becomes available for people. Because we want to grow. Legitimately, we want to grow our own product.
Okay. And where you are you in right now, Puerto Rico, are you somewhere that was affected by the, what was it, hurricane?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hurricane Maria. They're just getting really the whole island all together. Probably is just getting power back maybe 6 to 8 months ago from mm-hmm. Maria.
Okay.
It was still going in and out.
It still goes in and out while we're here.
But for the most part, like, yeah, I mean,
a lot of abandoned buildings, a lot of things that aren't up. We thought it was due to COVID, but it happened because of Maria. But it's still so beautiful here. Like, we got it fucked up back home thinking, oh my God, Puerto Rico, they trapped. Like, it's horrible down there. It's third world. Yeah, oh my God, they living.
Poor Puerto Rico.
Oh my God, somebody send them some money. No, these niggas down here, they living. Like, they are living their lives.
They living better than us. It's like the same thing when we grew up thinking Africans were struggling over there in mm-hmm. huts, and then you got to do is go on Google and hit fly over tour. And you see they got huge, you know, like, why are we helping them? They ain't helping them. You know what I mean? Like, but not saying that Puerto Rico they have went through their fair amount of struggle and United States oppression, just like we have, Black people in America, they went through the exact same things we went through. But as far as atmosphere, as far as they have their own land, you know, mm-hmm. all we had was berry farms. You know what I'm saying? Like, they living better than we are.
Okay.
So we trying to encourage this lifestyle so people will step outside the box, literally, and come live. You know, I love DC. It's my name. It's my home. My last name is Washington. I love my home more than anything, but I also want to encourage my people to get out and see more of the world. If you never leave your bed, I mean, if you never leave your hometown, that's like having a house and never leaving your bedroom.
Mm.
You know, you're gonna live your whole life and just never leave the bedroom. You bought this whole house and you just sit in the bedroom.
Right.
It sounds silly, but that's what most people do. They live and die in their city, and mm-hmm. that pride never lets them leave.
You're right, because we trying to buy a house, and I'm like, I don't know where we're gonna live.
Mm-hmm. And see the world. See the world before you decide. Don't just keep.
My advice is find you. What we do, we tell everybody this. Go on Airbnb, find you someplace for a month and rent it, and go to someplace else the next month that you want to go visit and rent it, and then go to someplace else the next month. Literally, the opportunities are endless. Like, if you can be okay with your worst case scenario, like, if that's okay for you, you can think of your worst case scenario. And if you be like, you know what? I'm okay with that. Fucking do it. Do it. Go every month, go to a different state and stay. Or every other month, just go somewhere different.
You might like the cost of living somewhere else.
Right. It might be here. I can't even, you can get a three-bedroom, four-bedroom home here for less than $500 a month.
Easy.
Everywhere you go here, that's easy.
But we were struggling trying to get a one-bedroom apartment on Minnesota Avenue.
It's a no-brainer.
They told us we made too much money. It was so many, you make too much. I'm like, I'm a disabled veteran on disability and unemployment. Yeah, but you got a retirement account from an old job 10 years ago, and because you have money saved. And
you can't stay here.
You can't stay here. Like those were the challenges we were facing in our hometown, like down the street from her auntie house. You know what I mean? Like,
well, no brainer. Is there anything else that you guys want to say in regards to urban van hippie life, or like, you know, I feel like I've been dropping gems the whole conversation for real.
But teamwork make the dream work. That's the most important thing. You know, I joke a lot and be like, why ain't I living in the van before? Because I was in the Navy. You know, I slept on a ship on a little rack, on a cot. Like, I can get comfortable in small spaces. I should have been did this. But in reality, I don't know if I'd have been able to do it without her. And I know it's vice versa. So it took a teamwork. It took a collective effort. Something that we both wanted to go after it. And, you know.
I was watching the show, which kind of probably ties in with one of your last questions. We watched this show called The Good Place. Mm-hmm. And we are absolutely engulfed in love The Good Place. We watched every episode, all the seasons, all the time, repeat. But one of the episodes I was watching today was at the end of it, he says, there's no such thing as soulmates, right? Everybody wants to say, like, you know, I can't wait to find my soulmate. I can't wait. There's no such thing as a soulmate. And it sounds crazy to say that, especially coming from me, but for a while I thought he was mine and I knew for a fact that he was mine. But the reality and the honesty of it is you have to work at that. Nobody just falls out of the sky and becomes your soulmate. Yeah. And you know, love is just completely unconditional and it's unpredictable and you just out here wilding in love. No, you gotta work on that shit every single day. And once you begin to work at it and build on it, then it becomes this whole thing and an entity that is beyond you and him. Mm-hmm. So for us, it was, we weren't so hung up on finding our soulmate. It was more so, who can we build with? Can I build with you? Can you support my dream? If I don't have the energy to go to work, are you gonna be like, you need to get your ass up and go to work? Like that type of thing, like, how can we build and make each other better? And that's really where we started. We started out with how can I make you better as a friend? That's how we started. How can I make you better as a friend, as a parent, or as a daughter or a son? And then it just came to be, how can I make you better for me? How can I make me better for you? Mm. And it just was a beautiful combination. And
I tell people too. I have two episodes this season. One's called Marriage, I Do, I Did, I Don't, and the mm-hmm. other's called Wife Life. And in both episodes, I kind of touch on the fact that I don't think that when people say, like, why'd you marry him? You'd be like, because mm-hmm. I love him. Or why'd you marry her? Because I love her. I'm like, look, I'm very transparent. I love, mm-hmm. I've been in love with my husband since I met him in 2003. Yes. Okay. Right,
for years.
but then when you add the dynamic of kids and you mm-hmm. you add the dynamic of bills, there was a moment I fell out of love, mm-hmm. right? And if I was only with him because I loved him, then I would have left him. Yeah. I feel like you need more than just love to mm-hmm. be. Yeah. Like, what does this person do for you that you possibly can't do for yourself? Or what does this person do?
That was part of why we spent so much time together, you know, honing and building and creating that bond. It's a saying that goes, you got to be disciplined because you all won't always be motivated. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. Like anytime, you know, Gatorade puts Michael Jordan in a commercial, you're selling his discipline. Like it's not anything else. You can't, you know, they're not selling the shoes, they're not selling the sweat or the person, they're selling the discipline that it took for him to get to that point. So for us, it's the same way. It took discipline. I was watching a Miles Monroe quote the other day, and he said that when Jesus went to pray, he went to go pray without his disciples. You know, people don't really peep that. He didn't pray with them, he prayed without them, and they peep that. So they realized that he would go and pray and pray and pray by himself so that when he went out into the world, you know, healing people, he only spent a moment with them. He only had to touch them. He only had to just, you know, it was easy. So that to me translates to build that up, put that armor on and build up what you need in order to, you know, face the world. And then when you go out into the world, you only got to spend 1 or 2 seconds with your problems. because you didn't build up that faith and you didn't build up what you need in order to get through to the day. But it's a daily thing. It's not a, oh, we're going to do this. Yeah, we're going to do that. And it's going to work for the rest. Nah, you got to get up every day and decide that and stick to that.
Look at y'all. Okay. marriage part two up over here. So, there's so many more questions I could ask, but I'm trying to make sure y'all have all the good content for Urban Van Hippie Life. Urban Hippie Van Life. I'm gonna get it right for real. Don't get it. It's been a long day. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, for real, I'm so, thank you so much for coming to kick it with me today. You know,
thank you
for having us.
Got me out here like Southwest. Where the flights? What's up? I'm going to Puerto Rico.
That's very, very cheaper.
I'm scared. Hold on. Wait. I ain't dead.
I'm supposed to be out here walking on faith. 365 times. That's not a coincidence.
So the last question I'm going to ask you all is, what else are you watching on TV? Because you already talked about The Good Place.
This show called Miracle Workers. So we're not really big on TV. We tend to catch things after it's been done and over with a long time afterwards. But we also like shows that people don't really tend to look at twice. So The Good Place, Miracle Workers.
Black Jesus.
What's another one?
Travelers.
Oh, right. Travelers. The Travelers on Netflix. Most of this stuff is on Netflix. So, like, we don't...
I mean, aside from Good Times and Jeopardy, those...
Yeah, that's it. We don't watch up-to-date things. It's stressful as fuck, and we just choose not to keep up with stuff like that. Like, we don't even watch the news. I can't tell you what's going on back home. I can't tell you what the weather is. I don't know none of it. Once we just decided to be done with everybody else's shit, it sounds so selfish, but it's the honest to gosh truth. When we decided to be done with everybody else's bullshit, it allowed us to really be able to have space for us and our own thing and what we wanted to do and what we wanted to consume ourselves with. So in that, we chose shows that fed our questions that we had. Every show that we named had answers to every question that we've ever had, especially in The Good Place. The Good Place is good. You gotta watch it with your husband. Y'all don't wanna
film, I'm a film major. Oh, I was a film major. I'm actually a dropout. I'm gonna make that clear too. I never finished school. But one of the things I learned with film is that it's more intentional than surface. You know, a lot of the stuff that we watch, it seems silly and goofy, but just like cartoons, just like what we put our kids in front of, it's an undertone message in it, and it means something. And a lot of times it could be your ancestors trying to get a message to you through, you know, something that you're watching. You never know. The art draws inspiration, you know, and that's all it really is at the end of the day. It's just art. So
look, can we just set up some can we set up weekly calls? We just need to talk.
Okay.
I need to feed my soul. Okay. Just go call me, girl. Okay. Cause I miss you and I let you so mad.
I don't have those type of relationships, honestly. Like the closest female that I have to me is my little sister, and I am an only child, but my dad married. So he has, you know, his wife has a daughter, and like she's 21, she'll be 22 this year. So for me, that was she's like the best opportunity for me to pour into her. So she's literally my only focus at this point. So any other outside interaction with, you know, females and anyone in general, I welcome because I don't get it. And it is a welcome change. So I would love to.
Yes, talk to me, girl, because I miss you. Okay.
I miss you
so much.
You're not coming back, so you gotta come back.
Girl, like, for real, you keep saying it. Now, when I show up, don't be like, damn, I shouldn't have told her that, because now I'm really going
to
be there.
Just tell us you on the way to the airport to give us 2 hours.
And then y'all going to pick me up in the Jeep, right? And y'all going to have the windows and stuff.
The doors.
I'm going to be holding on, but I'm going to hold on to faith.
Act light.
Yeah, pack light. Actually, you got a Walmart. Don't pack nothing.
Don't pack nothing. Just, I'm just gonna look. I'm just gonna come with just nothing. We'll I'll buy stuff.
Yeah.
That's it. Plane tickets cheaper than Uber's.
It is.
Thank y'all so much. I really do hope that somebody you know, y'all could pitch y'all show to someone and it gets picked up. I think people need to see stuff like that, a different perspective instead of what we deem as normal. So thank you for being unapologetically y'all. Okay.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
So until next time, everyone, please, even though they're living their best lives, we still need to live our safe lives. So we're going to wear our masks. We're going to wash our hands. Okay. 6 feet apart.